I'll just check if anyone else is here this morning. Hall, Andy Hall.
Yep.
Are you happy to come up now?
Yeah,
yep. Yeah, good on you. Come on up.
This morning.
So again, good morning and welcome.
Morning.
You don't need to read the original submission out to us, but you're very welcome to speak to that and make sure we understand what your key concern is.
Okay. Kevin and Debbie Hall, we farm at Silver Downs. We've been there for 25 years. We run a fairly intensive dairy operation, and calving pads / standoff areas are part of our strategy that we use in the spring to reduce pugging and pasture damage and that sort of thing. I think under the rule you've got a limit of 100 cows and no more than one pad per farm, which seems a little bit restricting for use in South, and we've got such a huge range of cow numbers, and my thoughts would be to have it a more relaxing, but a few more rules relating to the calving pads, how they work, and their setup, and how they're used, because I think the three variables really, which are important on how well they work and how big a mess they make and that sort of thing, and really your stocking rate, how many cows you got per square metre, how long they're used for in the spring, and whether there's feeding taking place or whether it's just somewhere to stand on wet nights and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
My suggestion would be to have a few more rules around these calving pads, because I think they do a good job, rather than just the current sort of situation here. Currently we've got two pads, and one pad has a 5,000 gallon tank which captures the drainage from the tiles, and so you're capturing nutrients that are coming off that pad.
Okay, so you've got two pads, and how big are they?
They're about 10 square metres per cow, I guess, which is probably the wrong, you know.
Yeah.
Cow numbers, 80 to 120 or something, that sort of number.
Right, so that's per pad, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's quite a short period where they're both pads are just used early August, and sometimes, like so this spring, they've been used a lot for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. And you say you capture the runoff from the pads in a tank?
One pad I've done that's drained, yep. And the other one it's under a cement carpet, so it hasn't been drained at this stage, but yeah, it is an option that we could do.
Okay. All right, let's see if we have any other questions for you. Morris, don't you?
Thanks. So the runoff is all captured. Have you got a you say you have some pipes or something and tile drains underneath the pad.
Yeah.
So there's no chance of anything getting into the groundwater or any fluid getting away?
Oh, not to the best of my knowledge. It's been there for quite some time, and the drains are about 3 or 4 metres apart, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Breached gravel and sort of.
Is that been designed specifically or by an engineer or something, or did you just do that?
No, it was probably done 20 years ago, I suppose.
Yeah.
Before this all sort of
works.
So what sort of, you suggested there could be some rules around these things. Is that one of the rules that you would have, like that has to be, the effluent has to be captured from it or something like that?
Well, I think so. I mean, it makes it fairly, you know, fairly sustainable if you're capturing the nutrients and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's all about, is keeping that the nutrients out of the waterways and that sort of thing. I guess the other areas where they're located on the farm is quite an impact too, you know. A second pad is 300 or 400 metres away from the closest waterways.
Okay, that was all my questions. Thanks very much.
So you haven't had to use them this spring?
Oh, initially the first 2 to 3 weeks of August, I suppose. we had quite a few cows, you know, dry cows before they started calving. Yes, it's the use is really dictated by the weather.
So in an extreme weather situation, that pad that's drained, it copes with all the runoff, the effluent?
As far as, well, there's no visible runoff. There's quite a depth of, you know, bedding material and that sort of thing, so I guess there's an absorption factor there with wood chips and shavings and those sorts of things. Yeah, there's no visible, you know, as in running down the track or anything like that. Yeah. So we don't feed a lot on it, so that I think that's quite a factor as well. Yeah.
So I think you've got 1,000 cows, is that right?
Oh, that's sort of the next submission, really. So yeah, we milk about 500, just under 500. Yeah.
So the two pads were quite adequate for that number.
Yeah, we probably peak at, you know, maybe a couple hundred cows, dry cows home at one stage, and then as they calve, we bring more cows home. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Yeah, so you've got a system where you can identify approximate calving date, and they're just bringing cows in, calving out, so the time cows in there, what, 2 to 3 weeks or less?
Ideally, that's less than that, but Mother Nature, you know, I would like to think, you know, sort of a week to 10 days. Sort of thing. We've got come to the runoff, so yeah, we bring them home from the runoff as they're due to come each week. There's a couple of loads coming home. Sort of.
And you're using wood chips for a bedding material?
Yeah.
What depth would you have above your gravel?
It would be about 600, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's never really clean. Clean right down, you know, take it off down to, I guess, get the clean material and then you top it up sort of thing. So I guess over time it probably might be a bit deeper in places.
Mm. All right, thank you.
One of your pads has a tank to capture effluent. How much volume's in that tank through the period that you use it?
It's probably not as much. It's under macrocarpa trees, but it's probably not as much. Like, I only have to empty it once for the spring, yeah. It's not as much goes in there as you would think.
So how big is that tank?
5,000 gallons, that's done the maths on rainfall and all that sort of thing. So it's, what, 25,000 gallons.
So in theory, you would have a lot of activity, a lot of the moisture actually captured in the pad. There's actually very little go out considering the rainfall and the stock that are on it.
That would probably be my assumption, yeah, as I say, I haven't done the maths on the amount of rainfall and to calculate it out yet.
So do any of your pads that you have today, are they consented or are they unconsented, even though you've got drainage systems in place?
Yeah, no, they're not consented, no.
Would you consider that having consent would change how you manage those pads? Or would it be necessary at the moment? You're only really allowed one under the rules.
Yeah.
You're suggesting that it should be more?
We should be allowed more than one pad, yeah. Well, I think for an operation of, you know, 5, 6 or 7, I'm speaking for a lot of people other than myself, it's probably a bit restrictive to say, okay, you know, you've got 700 cows, we've got about 100 cows on a pad. So
I think you've made the comment, though, that a standoff pad, in your view, if I'm picking up correctly, is different than a proper feed pad.
Yeah.
Your operation is really an overnight calving pad, wet weather pad against a feed pad,
right,
which is a very different operation,
right,
which is effectively intensive winter grazing on a pad with supplementary feed.
That's right, yeah.
Thank you. No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And shall we deal with the Hollyvale Farm submission there?
Yeah.
And I see your key submission there was on Rule 38, and you were worried about that Clause D, Romans 5 or Romans 4, the May to 30 September restriction. The officers have recommended to us removing that time period restriction.
Right.
So is there anything else you'd like to speak to about that submission?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah. So, probably we've got a particular shed, it's a wintering shed that is considered for 250 cows.
Yeah.
They're done straight down each day into two concrete bunkers.
Mm-hmm.
And on either side of those bunkers, there's a weeping wall which takes the liquids away to another pond where they're stored for the winter. So this 240 odd cubic metres of storage, and we sort of struggle to get through the winter with that amount of, with the dung that's straight down. And so my point is that because the liquids have been taken away with the notch and the cave being taken out through a weeping wall, and it's mainly most of your phosphorus is left in the solids, is where we can apply some of that through the winter if the soil conditions suit. Because the weeping wall was taking most of the nitrogen out anyway. So my thoughts were to empty perhaps 100 cubic metres to give us enough capacity for the winter. On a frosty day through the winter sort of. And obviously the time frame thing, you've already dealt with that, so I won't dwell on that. As far as should be more related to soil conditions rather than calendar months, really. So, yeah.
Okay. Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only comment I'd make is timing and soil important, or is it the application rate more important in that winter period? I'm suggesting that possibly the lower rate in the winter would be more important to you than...
Yeah, well, I guess they need the lower rate, because we're probably talking one paddock, 100 cubic metres is not very much. You want good soil conditions so you don't make a messy paddock, really, so, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Eric?
I'm good, thanks.
Questions? And Morris?
Well, can I ask Kevin the same question I asked the Van Rossums about a rule, if you like, for a permitted activity to apply effluent in the winter, particularly, but at other times of the year when the ground is too wet or too cold? What can, do you use the Environment South websites to to say whether or not it's okay? Are they good things to use, or should you be given more flexibility?
They are very relevant, and we do use them. Mm. I think the important thing is we need to distinguish between effluent and sludge.
No,
and when we're really talking about sludge, that the K has been taken out of, like this is a solid part of the material, which is not a lot different that's coming out of the behind of a heifer through the winter time that's been, you know, block raised sort of thing. That's the sort of application rate. It's a pretty low application. And it's sludge as opposed to effluent.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks.
And no further questions from me. Thanks very much.
Thank you.